Welcome to Classical 95.9 WCRI's Conducting Conversations with your host, Mike Maino. 1 hour of music and conversation with notable people in the arts, bringing you the stories of how music has impacted their lives. The show will give a behind-the-scenes look at the guest's background, interests, or special project.
Conducting Conversations is brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, from sheet music and brand name instruments to rentals, repairs, lessons, and more. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.
And now here's your host, Mike Maino.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Conducting Conversations. Tonight, it is my pleasure to welcome into the studio representatives of Theater by the Sea. The internationally famous and talented Karen Kessler is here. Welcome back, Karen. Nice to see you over in the corner, kind of going along. But she will be filling us in on all the details and all the wonderful things happening at theater. But we have two young people that are going to be starring in Saturday Night Fever, which is coming up, going to be opening this Wednesday for previews. So it's very exciting to meet these two young stars. Melissa Rapley is here. Welcome, Melissa.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing great. Nice to see you with us, and we'll look forward to finding out a lot about your background and your cohort. I don't know if you've ever heard that term used before or not. That's an old term, cohort. Opposite star, I guess, would be another name for it. Skylar Conaway is here. Welcome, Skylar.
Thanks for having me. Yeah.
Nice to have you. Do you consider yourself a cohort?
Sure. I don't think I even fully understand what a cohort is.
Well, see? That's great.
What does hort mean?
Well, that's one way to look at it. But both stars of Saturday Night Fever, Theater by the Sea, which, as I mentioned, is opening this Wednesday for previews, Wednesday and Thursday, and then Friday night, the big opening night. And we want to find out a little bit about your background. Let's start with you, Melissa. Have you been in Rhode Island before doing shows?
No, never doing shows.
So you're visiting here professionally for the first time?
Yeah, this is my Theater by the Sea debut.
Okay,
and
great.
It's been great. Everyone has been really lovely.
Excellent. Yeah. It's a beautiful spot, and I'm sure you will appreciate the beaches and the surrounding area.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, how I'm sure you're spending all your time here. It's just laying around at the beach. No rehearsals or anything.
Exactly, exactly.
It is a rigorous rehearsal schedule, and I'll tell people that they have a short period of time to put all this together, but it's always an amazing job. Melissa, a little bit about your background. Where did you grow up? What town?
So I grew up on Long Island.
Hey.
Uh-huh. Which really helps with the Italian Brooklyn accent. Mm-hmm. Grew up with an Italian New York family. So I grew up on Long Island around theater, making trips into New York City all the time, and I guess that's how the little spark of the theater.
Did that happen in high school or before?
Started dancing. Well, my mom tried to get me into dance when I was 4, but I was super shy and clung to the ballet bar. Would not move. But then I started getting into it back when I was about 7 years old, dancing all the way through high school. Started taking the acting classes, the singing, and then I went to college. I went to NYU for voice.
Yeah.
And
the rest is history.
And the rest is history.
Have you performed this role before in Saturday Night Fever?
Yes. Yes, I have. This is my 4th production as Stephanie in Saturday Night Fever.
And what other parts of the country did you do that in?
The last one was right outside of Philly. Mm-hmm. Performed another one in Arizona and Virginia.
Our ocean front is much better than you have in Arizona.
In Arizona? Yeah, that was...
Just so you know that. It's a little different. Skylar, how about you? Where did you grow up?
Yes, I'm originally from Seaford, Delaware.
Okay.
Which is, I always thought Delaware was the smallest place in the United States, but then I came here.
It is.
Yeah.
There you go. We don't even count Delaware in the state count anymore.
I don't think we count Rhode Island, so.
People think Rhode Island is part of New York. A lot of people. As I travel around, you'd be surprised how many people say to me, Is that on part of Long Island, or is it?
Really?
Yeah, yeah, it's pretty interesting.
I always get, I go, I'm from Delaware. They go, what state is that in? I go, oh, no, it's a state. It's its own state. Yeah.
It's its own state. So how did you get started in theater?
Yeah, so I actually was that kid that kind of did everything to try and find the hobby. You know, I played baseball for 7 years and did the 4-H and the Boy Scouts and whatever. And I couldn't really, like, find the one thing that made me, like, super passionate. And I just kept kind of trying everything. And I ended up getting involved with theater because I was in middle school. I was actually, like, entering high school. It was the summer after, you know, between 8th and 9th grade. And there was this girl who I had this big crush on. And she always did stuff in the local community theater. And they were having, like, a summer camp. You know, a day, you know, day camp where you go for 8 hours a day and do theater games or whatever. And I signed up for it just because I wanted to become closer to her. And it was about a 2 week, 1 week or 2 week camp. And, you know, the theater that was hosting the camp was also doing a production of Grease that summer as like their big summer production.
Okay.
And someone in the ensemble of Grease dropped out. And at the end of the summer camp, the director of Grease then offered me the ensemble position. And I had no clue what I was doing. You know, I was terrified.
I can do that.
Yeah. Well, yeah. But I told Melissa, I actually ended up, I was lip syncing the whole show, you know, because I was in the ensemble, so I didn't have any solos or anything. And I was like, well, I'm not going to sing on stage. I don't want anyone to hear me sing. So I would just move my words and move my lips and mouth the words. But yeah, that's how I started. And then as, you know.
Right now, that director is listening going, I knew it.
Yeah, all the secrets revealed. But yeah, that's how I got started. And then it was like, you know, I guess I finished that show and auditioned for the next one and at that same theater. And then all of a sudden, over the course of 4 years in high school, I was doing, you know, all these shows at all these different theaters in the area. And it was something that I ended up loving.
Yeah. And there you go.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's a great background. Not too dissimilar to mine. I became president of the drama club in my school, which was very large, and because it was me and there was almost 100 girls. So
oh, wow.
I was
And where are you from?
I'm right from Rhode Island,
oh, okay.
From Warwick, yeah. Pilgrim High School, which is, you know, you should bow whenever you say that name.
Oh, okay.
But people in the area will know about it. So that's an interesting start, and we want to get to some music about the show,
yeah.
And we'll talk a little bit more about your background and other adventures and so forth, but this first piece of music will get us in the mood, right? This is called Stayin'
Alive. You may have heard of it, yeah. So in the show, this is actually the opener of the show. It's the first thing you hear and see, and it's kind of setting the precedent. We're establishing a location, you know, it takes place in New York, 1977, specifically in Brooklyn, and we're kind of setting the tone for what it feels like to live back then, what it felt like to live in Brooklyn in the 70s, and also through the perspective of Tony, you know, and there's the iconic scene in the movie, he's walking down the street with a paint can, and that's not dissimilar to what you see here. It's just this idea of this young guy who thinks he's on top of the world, walking down the streets of Brooklyn.
All right, here we go. Staying Alive.
Well, you can tell by the way I use my walk. I'm a woman's man, no time to talk. The music loud and the women warm. I've been kicked around since I was born. But now it's all right and it's okay. And you may look the other way. Try to understand the New York Times effect on men. Whether you're a brother or whether you're a mother, you're staying alive, staying alive. Feel the city breaking and everybody shaking, and we're staying alive, staying alive. I'm a dancing man, I just can't lose. You know it's alright, and it's okay. I live to see another day. We can try to understand the New York Times effect on man. Whether you're a brother or whether you're a mother, staying alive.
talk. The music loud and the women warm. I've been kicked around since I was born, but now it's alright, it's okay. And you may look the other way. You can try to understand the New York Times affect all men. Whether you're a brother or whether you're a mother, you're staying alive, staying alive. Feeling city breaking and everybody shaking, and we're staying alive, staying alive.
Definitely in the mood now. We're dancing in the studio. Too bad you can't see us, but it's a lot of fun. Speaking of dancing in the studio and someone that's a lot of fun, I mentioned Karen Kessler is here. She's going to give us some details about the program, the Saturday Night Fever, when it starts, when it runs, how to get tickets and things like that. Right, Karen?
Correct. That is correct. So we open in previews, as you said, this Wednesday, August 14th, and the official opening is on the 16th of August, and we run till September 8th. It is selling very rapidly, so if you are interested in coming, you should definitely give us a call. The number at the box office is 401-782-TKTS, which is 8587, or you can go on our website, which is theaterbythesea.com. Hope to see you there.
And Karen, people can call and ask for Vinny and get a discount, right? Never mind. Just tell Vinny that Mike said you want, you know, good cheap seats, and I'm sure he'll work it out for you. Let's get back to our two stars that are here, Skylar and Melissa, and talk a little bit more about the show. We're going to go into the next song, which is Boogie Shoes. Tell us, Melissa or Skylar, either one of you, where that comes up and what's happening there.
Yeah, so Boogie Shoes is really establishing the relationship between Tony and his friends, his best friends in the show. And, you know, in this world of Saturday Night Fever, it's really all about this nightclub dancing kind of experience. And so Tony and his friends, they really get their kicks by going to the club and they dance the night away. And, you know, that's iconic in the movie as well. And so Boogie Shoes is really just kind of like the getting ready song. You're going to watch these five friends just getting ready to go out for a night of dancing and, you know, all that goes into that.
You haven't set eyes on Stephanie or Melissa yet.
Not yet.
I stare at Melissa often, but not yet have I met Stephanie.
Okay. All right. Let's give that a listen. Then we'll take a short break and we'll be back with more.
Girl, to be with you is my
I wanna put on my boogie shoes.
We are back talking about the Theater by the Sea presentation of Saturday Night Fever, which opens Wednesday and Thursday for previews, and then the big opening night on Friday. And we're talking with Skyla and Melissa, and they're the two stars of the program. And Skyla's been doing most of the talking at this point, so we're gonna go to Melissa now, and find out a little bit of background more about the show. And you mentioned this is your fourth production, right?
Yes.
And one of the things we were talking about during the commercial break, is it easier doing it again or with different directors? I mean,
I think it definitely makes it interesting. Each time is definitely different. Every director is different. We create a new version of Steph every single time. And I was telling Skylar, every Tony is different. And whatever they do, I'm reacting off of them. Mm-hmm. And we're able to find our own relationship and our own Tony and Stephanie. And I think it makes it more fun.
Sure. Yeah. Now, is Sibelico the best director you've ever worked for?
Oh, he's so much fun. I love working with him.
Yeah, because he's still going, right? You can't really tell us the truth, can you?
No. And he has that whole New York Italian thing, too. So he's all the time saying, giving us pronunciations.
Just to put you at ease, my first show with him was 1993. So I don't know where you were in 1993, but but I was on the road with Richard Sibelico, and he had just finished doing Newsies, and great job with that. So he's doing two in a row at Theater by the Sea. Let's get to this next piece of music, and tell us about this one, Disco.
Yeah, so Disco Inferno is the first time that you're going to see the club. And it's a huge, amazing ensemble number. This cast is incredible. My jaw is on the floor every single time I watch them. And what Charlie Sutton has done with his choreography for this number and the whole show is incredible. And then this song, you get to see it.
All right, here we go.
What a good trip!
Fun, baby, fun.
Come on, baby, let's just do it!
Fun.
great music that'll have everybody dancing in their seats. And one of the other things that you see at Theater by the Sea all the time are great sets. I was just happy to see Newsies as the last production, and the set was unbelievable, and that's always happening at Theater by the Sea. If you haven't been there, get there. Not only do they have wonderful set designs and so forth, costuming is always fantastic, and they have a live orchestra. My friend Mike's down in the pit there, and he and the boys and girls always are providing live orchestration to go along with the actors and the singers, and I know you must appreciate that. Skyla, have you ever done a show where it wasn't a live orchestra? Have you ever had canned music?
Yes, actually.
To sing along?
Yes.
Not fun, huh?
No, not fun. It keeps you on your, you have to, there's no freedom, I guess.
Right.
You know, you have to hit the mark every single time, whereas with a live, you know, orchestra, there's a chance to, you know, to take in the audience or to back phrase or anything.
It just feels differently.
Oh, it feels entirely different, yeah.
How about you, Melissa? Have you ever done that?
Yeah, I have. Yeah. And I think it's, the audience can also feel the difference.
Yeah. Well, it's a great benefit at Theater by the Sea, and we hope they continue to do that for a long time. And the other Creature Comforts that are there, if you haven't been down there, it's a beautiful location, and it has a beautiful restaurant attached to it. You see, you can go and get food before the show, and then they have a nice gazebo with beverage during intermission and so forth. So lots of things to take advantage of. Let's get back to Saturday Night Fever and tell us where we are in the production at this point.
Yeah, so in the show right now, at this point after Disco Inferno, Tony has seen Stephanie dancing, and he has found himself attracted to this person, and he's even pursued her a little bit, and she has been quite cold in the response. And I think at this moment, as we approach the next song, which I believe is You Should Be Dancing, Tony's kind of reaching a boiling point. This is just toward the end of Act One, and everything in his life is kind of just putting these walls up. You know, Stephanie's giving him the cold shoulder, and he's running into some troubles with his friends. He's kind of at this place where his family life is not going as he hoped. And so it is this kind of climactic moment where, in true Tony fashion, he knows the only way he can really express himself is on the dance floor. So he takes to the dance floor to kind of really release that bubbling energy.
Okay, yeah. All right. Can't wait to see you release. We'll listen to that, then take a short break and be back with more.
Yeah.
Welcome back to the Melissa and Skylar Show. It's brought to you tonight by Theater by the Sea. And we're talking to the two stars of Saturday Night Fever, which is opening this Wednesday night at Theater by the Sea down in Matunuck. If you haven't been there this summer, shame on you. Get there. They've had some great shows so far, and this is going to be no exception to that. Tickets are going extremely well. During the commercial break, we actually talked about the fact, Melissa, that you're going to have a problem getting your husband even in on opening night because the show is sold out, right?
I know.
So we're gonna talk to Vinny and find you a way to get him in there somehow. One of the things we also talked about during the commercial break was the fact that the show has changed over the years from what some people might remember. There's a difference between the original Saturday Night Fever and what people saw and or heard and what they're going to see this week when they see your show, right?
Mm-hmm. I think, so everybody remembers the movie, and we have all those iconic Bee Gees songs. I think the musical is definitely a little more family-friendly, which is great. And they adapted, there are definitely some new songs as well. David Abernathy orchestrated some of the Bee Gees songs that you're going to hear, and there are some lovely new songs. There's a really great duet between Tony and Steph where they're kind of talking about, oh, maybe I have feelings for this person, but I totally don't want to go into that. But it's a very lovely song that he created for the musical. So you'll be hearing Bee Gees songs that you know, new songs that further the plot.
So when putting this all together, Skylar, have you felt differently? Like, these are good improvements, right?
Oh, totally, yeah.
Not taking away from what the original movie brought to millions of people.
Yeah, not at all. And I think that by doing this, it's a really great like blend of what musical theater fans can expect when going to the theater, and then people who are fans of the movie will also get, you know, because you are getting those iconic Bee Gees songs from the films that, you know, we all know.
And iconic lines, like, yeah. Watch the hair.
Yeah, exactly. But then you're also going, you're gonna have that experience of going to the theater and hearing songs that maybe you haven't heard before that are enjoyable and that are going to, you know, help to further tell the story.
Sure, it's always something new and exciting. All right. You know, I don't often have the opportunity with representatives of the theater for a show coming up where I have both of the stars in the studio. Usually it's one or the other. So this is a great opportunity to put you on the spot say that you had not met each other before, right?
Yeah.
That's correct, yeah.
So this was, so just met a couple weeks ago, and you have to have that spark and a love interest that's going to develop in the show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
How does that work?
Well, it's a bummer this is radio because you can't see her. I mean, she's gorgeous. But I think it's really about just getting to know each other as, you know, genuinely as quickly as you can. Like, you know, Melissa, we got in on a Monday, you know, which is our day off, but Melissa made a point to come over and introduce herself to me, and we just really have taken time outside of the rehearsal space to, like, just work on stuff together, just to be familiar so that, like, you know, because it's one thing to stay in the office for 8 hours a day and have that experience, but then outside of the office, we're getting to know each other so that it does feel like we are two people that do care about each other, which is really awesome.
Same for you?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
And he's super sweet.
I was looking for an interesting scoop, you know.
No interesting scoops.
All right. All right, let's get to the next piece of music. And this is your big song, Melissa, right? What Kind of Fool?
Yeah. So this is, people remember it, Barry Gibb and Barbara Streisand, that duet that they did, that they inserted in this. And this takes place, Tony and Steph are in a little bit of a rough patch, and it's her big moment to kind of self-reflect on, you know, how she's been feeling stuck in this life and how to move forward.
All right, let's give it a listen.
Starting
Before we run out of time, Melissa, I just want to give people the opportunity to find out a little bit more about you. And you have a website people can go to, Facebook, Instagram, whatever?
Yeah, sure. I have a website. It's www.melissarapley.com.
I think you better spell
I
that.
I sure shall. M-E-L-I-S-S-A-R-A-P, as in Peter, E-L-J-E. There's J-E. A silent J.
All right. That's a little bit of a hitch in the get-along there. Yeah. So check that out. And, Skyler, you have Facebook, Instagram?
Yeah, I encourage people to follow me on Instagram and Twitter, that kind of stuff. And okay. I also will spell my name because it's a little different, but it would be at Skyler Conaway, one word, lowercase, S-C-H-Y-L-E-R-C-O-N-A-W-A-Y.
You could have had, you know, Bill Smith and Jill Johnson, but no, you have
no,
to have
these are so much more interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, those in both cases, is that your real name? It's
yeah,
not a stage that, name?
No, yeah, my real name.
Okay,
yeah.
So you didn't change it?
No.
And no one has told you, well, you should change the spelling of that or something at this
well,
point.
Oh, they certainly have.
That's not true.
Yeah, that's okay. A little
but we kept it.
Yeah, but you kept it anyway. All right. And It's always interesting to me that Melissa, do you come from a musical family? I mean, we talked about your beginning and your mother wanting you to dance, right?
Yeah, it was more of like a social activity. Like I said, I was only child, super shy, so it was more to be social. But no, neither of my parents are musical. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've heard my mom sing in the shower. She's better than me.
We don't want to advertise.
No, but my grandpa, I think I got. He's like an Italian. He's a huge ham. Mm-hmm. I think if he could have been an actor, he would have.
Yeah.
So
well, that's great. Those are great memories. And but no stage mom pushing you in that direction.
Oh God, no. Okay. She's anything but super supportive. My okay. whole entire family is super supportive, but definitely not a stage mom.
Okay. Yeah. And Skyler, your background there too is just you wanted to do it by yourself, right?
I mean, well, no, my parents were very musical. My mom was a singer, and my parents met because my father was her bass guitarist.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I grew
Let's get into that.
Yeah, so I grew up listening to my mom sing all the time, and then I have a twin sister, actually, who also does this professionally.
Oh.
And so we, you know, she grew up dancing since she was 3 years old. So I was always, you know, between my mother singing and my sister dancing, I was certainly around it my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So well, I definitely have musical influence.
Speaking of professionally, you have another gig that you're going to right after this, right?
Yeah, I have been really fortunate enough to have toured with the USO for the last like 5.5 years. It will be 6 years in February, which is crazy. So I close Saturday Night Fever, I think, on the 8th. I fly, get back to New York on the 9th, and I leave for the USO tour on the I think it's the 12th, 12th so or 13th.
I think we're giving people a scoop here. There will be no extension of Saturday Night Fever. Right?
If there's an extension, it might be a different guy playing Tony.
So get your tickets early because it will probably be sold out lots of times. And on that vein, let's go back to Karen.
Right. So you can give us a call at 401-782-TKTS, which is 8587, or go online at theaterbythesea.com. The show opens Wednesday, August 14th. It runs through September the 8th. There are lots of performances, but a lot of them are already sold out. So do not hesitate to get your tickets. And also, I think you might have mentioned the restaurant at one point, Bistro by the Sea. If you're interested in having dinner with us, you can give them a call at 401-789-3030. And we do have a late night cabaret after the Friday, Saturday, and Sunday performances in the last 3 weeks of the run. And this year, it is hosted by two comedians, Poppy Champlin and Doreen Collins. And it is selling really well this summer, and people are kind of fighting to get in. And there, you can't have everyone from the theater go to the cabaret because we don't have enough space. So if you are interested, you should definitely make a reservation. So I guess this is probably a little bit of a scoop for some people. We have announced our 2020 summer season. We're actually bringing Mamma Mia back by popular demand for a couple of weeks at the very beginning of the summer before our official season starts. And then we're going to do Million Dollar Quartet, Funny Girl, Rodgers and Hammerstein Cinderella, and we're closing next season with Kinky Boots.
Thank you, Karen. And as I've said a couple times, make sure you get your tickets early because things do sell out. That's not a sales pitch. There's been lots of people that have contacted me over the years and say, you know people there, can you get me tickets? And I say, no. So please be sure to call early, and it'll be you will not be disappointed. I guarantee it. And if you are, I'll give you Bill Haney's private phone number, and you can call him, and I'm sure he'll give you your money back. See, Karen right now has just fallen under the table, but that's all right. No one will remember that I said that. Speaking of putting things together and the way Bill Haney does it, it's pretty amazing that the whole company works to put these shows together in a very limited amount of time. We mentioned that, but the other thing is that we have to emphasize to the audience that this is not a tour. This is not where, you know, for example, when I did Music Man, the same cast went from city to city and did the show, and we had the same set, and we just go and set it up again and do it again and again and again. This is a one-time deal for Theater by the Sea, right?
Yeah.
So, Skylar, that's going to be, in your opinion, a lot of work, right?
It's all, a ton
on
of
all
work.
Sides of it.
Oh, yeah, a ton of work. I mean, the whole thing is built from the ground up on every level, like Karen was saying, the costumes and the sets are all original for this production. Charlie's choreography and Richard's staging, it's all brand new. And so we're all learning it, you know, in the short amount of time. I think the entire process is like about 2 weeks of really from zero to what you guys see on stage is about 2 weeks, which is kind of insane.
Right.
You know, considering the scope of the show as far as how big it is with the dancing and with the staging and, you know, all of that. So it is pretty incredible to see that happen, and it is a ton of work.
Yeah. Melissa, we talked earlier about you doing the show four times, and was it, you know, how did you feel about coming in and doing this again? Do you bring other things to the part that you've done from other shows and say, well, let me try this or let me try that, or you just kind of go with Richard Zabelico's direction? And
yeah, I think as an actor, I'm bringing like all the research that I've done for the role. I definitely don't try to copy anything that I've done because that would totally feel inauthentic. So everything is new. Everything you're going to see. I'm sure some things will come through.
Right, yeah.
But
there might be
this is a whole version
thing,
stuff. Right? Yeah.
Yeah. And as we mentioned, the sets are new, and it's just amazing that all this is put on that little tiny stage in Theater by the Sea, which we lovingly call the Old Barn. And it's in its 87th year, I think, something like that, of existence. Yeah, I'm right. Okay, Karen is nodding in the background. 86th year. Well, we know what you just announced, the 87th year. So there we go. That's how I put that together. Save myself. All right, we have one more piece of music to go. Before we get to that, I want to thank you all for coming in. Karen, thanks for being here again. And we look forward to seeing you for next year's productions. And Melissa and Skylar, thank you both. It's great to meet you, and I can't wait to see the show.
Thank you.
Thank
likewise.
You.
Okay, let's talk about this last one. How deep is your love?
Yeah, so this is the final number of the show. It's a duet between Tony and Steph. And I think with this version of the musical compared to the movie, at least, is that they really made it a really sweet love story. So this is at the end, Tony and Steph finally realizing their love for each other.
All right, a happy ending.
Happy ending.
We gave it away. All right. Thanks again to both of you and to the rest of you. We'll see you next time on Conducting Conversations. Oh,
the moment that you wander far from me, I wanna feel you in my arms again.
And you come to me on a summer breeze, keep me warm in your love, and you softly leave. And it's me you need to show.
How deep is your love?
Conducting Conversations was brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, using music and the arts to keep your child educated, entertained, and having fun. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.